Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Brandon Weikert. His new book is Biohacked, China's Race to Control Life. Yes, this is about COVID-19. Yes, this is about theft. Yes, this is about a contest between the United States of America and the People's Republic of China. It is also about the falling down of many esteemed individuals in our culture and European culture and Chinese culture, because the intention of China moves from curiosity to warfare. Brandon, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. At the beginning of your book, you have a metaphor which I like a great deal. It's a way of explaining how the People's Republic of China's Chinese Communist Party believed they would win the contest with the United States, though they start from well behind after the century of humiliation. It's called the Field of Dreams theory. What does that mean? How were they thinking in Beijing when they came up with that? Good evening to you.
Well, it's a good evening, John, and thank you for having me. That's a great question, because you think of the Field of Dreams, you think of a very American idea. But in fact, China's government spent years learning at our feet how to become a superpower and trying to emulate it and be better even than we are at being Americans when it comes to tech innovation and dominance. And so the Field of Dreams mentality is exactly what it sounds like. If you build it, they will come. That was the famous line in the movie. That's precisely what happened in the movie. They built the baseball field and everybody came to watch the game and participate. And similarly, China applies that mentality to the high-tech sector. If they don't have the indigenous talent to do these new technological innovations, in this case, with the book, we're talking biotechnology, they will build the world's most advanced, comprehensive innovation ecosystem, and then they will attract Western investors and Western innovators and creative types to put their talents into those Chinese innovation hubs rather than American or Western ones, and that is precisely what's happening.
This is not limited then to biology. It applies to all fields, from rocketry to biology to, I would guess, warfare. Everything can be arranged if the talent comes to China. Now, that doesn't necessarily sound like it's a malign intent. Do we have an understanding? Was it malign from the first, or were they playing catch up and nobody was in charge?
Well, I think it was a combination of both, but I think that it's very important to note, going all the way back to Mao Zedong, the founder of the Communist Party of China, when he defeated Chiang Kai-shek's Nationalist Army in the Chinese Civil War, he was giving a speech declaring victory and declaring the founding of the People's Republic of China. And one of the slogans he used was "Catch up to Great Britain and beat the United States." And he was referring specifically to creating the industrial and technological basis for catching up with the Western world and then defeating them with that technology. And actually, this gets into a theory that I've been following for a while. There was a guy in the 1800s, a Chinese nationalist, who wrote an essay in a very well-read nationalist journal called The Exhortation to Study. The man who wrote it was Zhang Zedong, and he advised, living through the what the Chinese referred to as the century of humiliation, which is when the Western empires came in and basically colonized China, a 4,000-year-old civilization that at one time was a very powerful and great empire in its own right. Living through that ontological shock, Zhang Zedong and the other nationalists were writing, how do we as Chinese basically reclaim our supremacy over what they viewed were the barbarians of the West? And he said, young people of China, you have to go to the West and learn at their feet, learn all of their capabilities, and then bring it back to China and plant that the knowledge seeds in China so that the knowledge tree will grow here. And then we won't need the West anymore. And we can basically dominate again by taking the Western know-how and applying it here. That essay was a widely read essay, not just in its time, but young Mao Zedong, as a librarian before he really became revolutionary, read this and was inspired as a teenager by this work. And that ultimately is one of the things that stuck with him throughout his life. And so you could absolutely say that what we're seeing in the biotech sector today, what we're seeing across the board in the high technology domain, this idea of China will build it and that will attract the talent and the investors from the West, that very much goes back to something that Mao was honed in on. And so I actually believe that this was part of a larger plan or plot by the Chinese elite to catch up to the West and defeat us.
2008, 1,000 Talents Program. What is that? Because it still exists, Brandon.
Yeah, and that's part and parcel of this sort of Field of Dreams mentality, in that a man named Yi Rao he was one of the creators of this program, which was designed to identify talent abroad in the scientific fields and to try to entice them to, at the very least, share whatever they were working on with Chinese state-owned entities, or in some cases directly the Chinese government, or to just come over to China and basically give over their talent to the Chinese government rather than their home governments or their home industries. And they've done this since 2008. Originally, it was just targeting members of the Chinese diaspora in those countries, but now it's been scaled out to basically any innovator or investor who China's government believes could contribute greatly to the growth of China's high-tech sector.
Earlier in this century, you were working in Washington. You no longer work there, but you are familiar with its understandings of China. Yeah. And you new people who were approached or heard about the 1,000 Talents Program. How is it How is it presented to American talent, young people and senior figures at universities? Yeah.
Well, the senior figures, it's a pretty straight up approach. Basically, they want money for research that they want to do. They want the research. They want to expedite their research so that they can get their Nobel Prizes faster, get prestige faster, and in turn, that'll get them more money and prestige, sort of a self-feeding loop. For the young people, and I'll bring up my wife in this instance. My wife was studying genetics at Yale in 2014 period. And we were dating at the time. And when we were getting serious, I was working on Capitol Hill at the time. She would send me these email offers that she was getting from Chinese state-owned entities in places like Wuhan, saying, hey, look, we know you're a top-tier student at Yale studying in a field that we're very interested in, genetics. Instead of going to an American or Western firm to do your research, why don't you come to China? Come to Wuhan, and we will pay you top billing. You'll get top slots at our most advanced research labs. By the way, you'll be able to get published in academic journals, and you'll be one of the first names listed, which is a big deal for researchers. Normally, young PhD students have to have their names listed in the end of the author's page. They'll be getting top billing in a Chinese lab. And oh, by the way, if you're still hesitant to come to China, we know you have massive student debt. And we, as a signing bonus, before you even get on the plane, after you sign the contract, we will send you the money you need to pay off all of your student debt. And that message was sent not just to my wife, but it was sent to the whole cohort of her fellow Yale genetics students. These are not all of them Asian Americans or people of Chinese descent. My wife is not Chinese. She's a Virginia girl. So daughter of the American Revolution. Her family comes from a long line of Virginians. So she was not a foreigner at all. But they knew that she had student debt, and they knew that most of the students at Yale, regardless of their background, probably had some need to be met in terms of the student debt problem. And that was sort of the point of entry for a lot of these industrial espionage Chinese agents. And so that was, now my wife didn't do it, obviously, because she was dating me and I knew we were going to get married. And I said, it's not happening. But a lot of her cohort took the offer. And so we now have the next generation of American biotech innovators moving to China and doing the research there via their 1,000 Talents Program.
The book is Biohacked, China's Race to Control Life. Brandon Weikert is the author. I'm John Batchelor.